Welcome to Mexican Crossing Lines with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo, Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Tonight, I am going to be talking about an article that just dropped today on the site of Laura Loomer, and written by my gal pal over at Red State Radio, Tori Maras Lindemann of Tori Says. She did a fantastic job in exposing Tulsi Gabbard. This article features Antifa from Portland, Border Support Network founder Evan K. Duke III. I couldn't be more proud that my investigations into this man were used in Tori's article. I hope it reaches far and wide. I hope y'all help me share it and spread it. We're going to go through it right now on Mexican Crossing Lines. Plus, I'm going to share with you my previous shows that have featured information about Tulsi Gabbard, because there is a wealth of information in there, and I'm going to give you a little taste, just a little bit, so that you can get an idea of what I have in these other shows. That includes Evan K. Duke, again, plus Bernie Sanders, Wes Clark Jr., actress Frances Fisher, Terrence Daniels, the drone pilot that we featured recently over in Hawaii with Mason Bobby Leonard and Dean Dedman. Ed Higgins, remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get resurrected tonight. And Lilith Sinclair, a.k.a. Kiara Horsley. All of that on tonight's Mexican Crossing Lines. I call it Tulsi Gabbard Antifa Fangirl. After the post, as you know, which we saw was made on the last show on someone's Twitter. And I want to thank everyone that has watched our shows, supported our shows, shared our shows, especially recently. I want to thank everyone who's been sending me information. I am still plowing through all of it. There's a lot to go through. I will be bringing more of those investigations forward in future. But first, I want to thank everyone for their support. How can folks donate to our station and support our work?
Oh, they can do quite a few things. And one is just getting a hold of us. I do appreciate all the work people are doing, because you have a vested interest in bringing this information forward. And we do a really good job of digging deep and then revealing with the receipts. I mean, we do a lot of screenshots, and we bring a lot of things up in the show to give you some visuals. We also record many of the shows, not all of them, and we air them on our local radio station, 88.1 FM, Fargo-Moorhead, which people driving around the community need to know how to get a hold of us, too. So I'll go through a spiel on how you can get a hold of us. You can do a call-in message to our message line, if you'd like to do that, and call 701-566-0917. Again, that number is 701-566-0917. You can also tweet us at @media_PPP. You can email Cindy at kappfm.com and me, Duke, at kappfm.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead, the People's Press Project, and Mexi-Can. Now, if you go to our website, kppfm.com, you'll find our variety of shows that we play, but the Mexican Crossing Lines is the one that we're actually promoting and broadcasting now. You can go there and find all of our previous shows. In fact, Cindy has some shows that she went back, shows that mentioned Tulsi Gabbard, you know, months ago, a long time ago, and has been revealing information about her and her associates for a long time. And that information has finally been picked up with our most recent shows and is on platforms that reach thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. We're grateful for that. We're going to go through that article tonight, as Cindy will do, and I will comment on that also. And when you're at kpppfm.com, there's a donate tab. If you go to that donate tab and make a tax-deductible donation to our station, we'll send you a receipt by email, and at the end of the year, we'll send you another receipt for your tax purposes. All funding goes into our work, and we're a nonprofit 501c3 radio station. We're not commercial, non-commercial, community-run. We don't do advertising. We do underwriting, which you can have your business make a donation to our station, and we'll do a mention on the air of your kindness and philanthropy to support our work. But everybody who supports our work is very important, because you are our base, because we just don't operate in a void, and we're doing this because we have connections to our community, and we broaden that community by doing Facebook Lives. Now, we started to do YouTube Lives. We did one last night. We're going to do another one after the show. It's going to be a question and answer session where we can focus on your comments and talk directly to you. When we're doing a show, it's a little bit harder because it's hard to read the comments when we're looking at the information that we're presenting. So sometimes we don't actually have time to look at the comments till after the show. So that'll give you an opportunity to jump over to YouTube at the channel Duke1517, and we'll throw a link in this show several times. So about 5 minutes after the show is ended, jump over to YouTube, and we'll try to answer your questions and, you know, do a good job of connecting with you. We're going to do Super Chat, too, so you can have your questions prioritized and be on screen, and that sort of fun there. So thank you for supporting us. Thank you for working with us. Thank you all for participating, sharing this show, sending it to other people. The significance is really great because this information, like I said, has been out for a long time, but we've honed it down. There's new information. We're making those connections, and other people have picked up on that in national platforms, and they're now putting that forward, and we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight.
I am thrilled. I am really, really thrilled. And I want to thank Laura Loomer for publishing this article, and of course, because she has millions of followers, okay? And I've been doing these shows for years now. And I'm a station in Fargo-Moorhead mm-hmm. with a potential reach of around 200,000 people.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's not nothing. It's something very significant because, you know, we are the largest metropolitan area between the Minneapolis and Spokane, Washington. So even though we're rural and we're, you know, Midwest states up here, it's a large potential reach of an audience. I'm not sneezing at it.
Mm-hmm.
But Laura Loomer has a national, international following of millions of people. And the work I have been doing has had a limited reach.
Yep.
I have wanted to expose these things for years. I've been diligently doing my shows, you know, banking all of these shows and podcasts on our website for people to go and find them. And to me, this is one of those opportunities. So thank you. A million thanks to Laura Loomer for publishing this on her website, and of course, Tori Mara Slindeman for the work she did on this article. Amazing. As you may recall, Tori Mara Slindeman has had me on her show, Red State Radio. Tori says, go find her show on Red State Radio. Tori has done shows with me on her radio show, plus articles about the migrant caravan. You may recall the one that we did about River Doherty, who works as a volunteer for Al Otro Lado, the Crooked Lawyers Group down in Mexico, coaching migrants to make false claims of asylum to the United States. This man River Doherty was accused by the pastor, along with other Border Support Network activists, of providing drugs to the migrants, as well as to this unaccompanied minor named Carlos, who they kidnapped from his shelter.
Mm-hmm.
In an article titled "American Activists Accused of Kidnapping Caravan Migrant Child," which was written by me, published on Tori Says site, February 28, 2019.
You know, and that guy, that River Doherty, he's the oatmeal man, right? He's still down in Tijuana, yeah, serving oatmeal to the migrants.
Oatmeal, you know, man.
You know, he's the oatmeal guy. You know, you'll see Oscar El Blue Ramirez interviewing him and, you know, saying, "You kidnapped a child." And he's like, falso. You know, and it's like, come on, that guy's been down there for a long time. He's a couch surfer. He has a profile, and we've showed this in previous shows. You can find that at kppfm.com. You know, and he got really upset that we actually showed his information because we're blowing his cover. He's another one, and he's still down there coordinating. He's an Antifa person connected to Evan Duke and all these people, and he's still down there infiltrating into Tijuana, and he's disturbing people down there, and, you know, he's up to no good, but he's being exposed on many platforms, and so go to that article that Cindy wrote,
yeah,
on
please,
Tori
please
Says,
check
because
it, out.
It has lots of information. It has pictures and all sorts of facts.
Oh, we'll put it in the comments of the show so people can go check it out if you missed it. But let me just say, like many of these con artivists, when I published the story, when I came out on my show, he threatened to sue me for libel and slander and sent me a strongly worded email and letter from his attorney.
Yeah, it was just a bluff. It was taken from, you know, the website. You can just fill out a form on the website for whatever state he was sending it from, and insert name here, you know, and you have 10 days to cease and desist and remove all videos from everything. It's like, never heard from the guy again.
No. Well, she also wrote another article about Senator Merkley being obsessed over the unaccompanied minors. And this was after I talked to her about my interviews with Oscar El Blue Ramirez in Mexico, as well as what Pastor Albert Rivera told me when Senator Merkley visited. I said that Senator Merkley had a private meeting with some of the unaccompanied minors that were there without the press. And he really was pushing to make it possible for unaccompanied minors to come and seek asylum in the U.S. Very, very interesting article by Tori. Check both of those out. And of course, I will be sharing this article that is published on Laura Loomer's official site by Tori Maris Lindemann, written by Tori Maris Lindemann, which includes some of my investigative work. So let's get to it right now. But
excellent.
I just want to share with folks that in this article, you can behind us, just so folks know, because I think people are like, what's going on with these pictures?
Okay.
If you don't recognize who this person is here,
I'll check your camera. You can just see the whole picture that way.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's Tulsi Gabbard and Evan K. Duke III, the Antifa Portland guy that was recently punching people in videos that were taken at the Portland riots that just took place August 18, 19, where you saw him punching people that were on that black bus. I believe they were called American Guard,
yeah,
or something like that.
Something like that.
And look at what's behind Duke. You talk.
Yeah. And mine, this is a no dapple water protector. Is at Standing Rock. And there's Tulsi Gabbard's, and is this Archambault?
Dave Archambault?
You know, the tribal chairman at the time. And then hugging Tulsi Gabbard is Ed Higgins there. And back here, I don't know who that guy is, right above them. I can't recognize some of the faces, but these were groups of people who are promoting the No Dapple scam, you know, in North Dakota, and we're doing all sorts of damage and costing the state all sorts of money. And there are a list of characters, and Tulsi Gabbard went there and was escorted by these Antifa people during the Standing Rock, and you know, she's running for president now.
You can't see who's behind Evan, Ed Higgins here.
Yep.
But it's Brandi Paisano.
Okay.
And then, of course, behind our Chamble is Evan K. Duke the third.
Okay.
That's his face.
I see. It's his eye and nose.
It's his eye and his nose and his baseball cap and or cap anyway.
Stocking cap, yeah.
Yeah, stocking cap. And then next to him is that George something, George, I can't remember his name right now, but he was one of the veterans respond. I still have an interview from that guy I've never played.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah, we have
because I interviewed him about yeah. why he was there when they were kidnapping Kathleen's mm-hmm. mom from mm-hmm. her. And, yeah, so why don't you remind people just real quick what was going on in Standing Rock when the veterans were there? Because he was part... Evan Duke was part of the veterans.
Oh, definitely.
Stand for Standing Rock.
Well, you know, we have a... If you go to our webpage, kpppfm.com, and look at the interviews, it's early days of Standing Rock, all the way up to the Kathleen Bennett case. They were parading around politicians. They were bringing in Hollywood influencers, Hollywood actors, because this was one big scam for lots of people to make lots of money and to rise their influence with their... you know, anti-government stand and their Antifa stand and the veteran stand for Standing Rock was a group that was selected to escort Tulsi Gabbard, you know, and escort her because, I don't know, you know, people weren't in danger out there, you know, but since they were celebrities, it gave them the opportunity to do all these photo ops and run security for her, you know, follow her around and be her security and parade her through the different lines and have her talk to different people. And these characters, we've exposed these characters for what they did then and what they're doing now. And for Evan K. Duke, someone who is started the Abolish ICE and has all these other organizations that are Antifa movement stuff, and all the way to just last week when he's in Portland punching people in the face and chasing people down and creating a mob mentality and then blaming it on the cops and blaming it on to people that are the far right, you know, when they're actually... much, much farther right and violent. And he's also being investigated by our government, many agencies, and he's connected to people that are doing harm to other people. All these characters are still rising to fame. So when we can do a show and we can show the evidence of they've been going down the wrong road and they are influencing so many people to have these fake views about what's really going on in our government, and you have a candidate that's right there, it's hard to move where it is, but candidate for president, you know, from Hawaii, you know, that is running under the Democrats, who switched from being a conservative to Republican to being a Democrat. She needs to be exposed, and I think she's being exposed a lot right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Well, and I want you to tell them a little bit more about what's going on with the veterans. Tell them about the veterans. Stand for Standing Rock. What was happening with them?
Oh, well, they were connected.
Wes Clark Jr.
They were connected to Wes Clark Jr., and if you don't know who he is, we did plenty of shows and plenty of recordings and all sorts of stuff, you know, tape recordings that he agreed to. Telling about his influence with the veteran stand. I mean, they brought at the height of the Standing Rock, towards the when winter first hit, they brought thousands of veterans to go basically break through the police line and surround where the drill pad was drilling underneath the Missouri River. And their plan was to take veterans from across the United States and do this action where they basically broke down barriers and, you know, surrounded this drill pad, supposedly to sing Kumbaya, but they were there to have people's heads get broken. And they raised millions of dollars, and Michael A. Wood Jr. Mm-hmm. was also a Baltimore cop who was reformed Baltimore cop that blew the whistle on the Baltimore Police Department, was also the kingpin of that organization and raised millions of dollars. When the veterans got there, people came from all over the country. That guy ran off with millions of dollars. There were people stranded. There was a huge blizzard that hit, so people were stranded in buses. There was mayhem for people that are trying to stay there, and they spent thousands of dollars and thousands of dollars for tents, and they had brought all this stuff in for people, got donations from across the country for this action, which really wasn't an action at all. They never actually did what they said they were going to do, and people had to disperse. People were stranded. People were supposed to be reimbursed that signed up for this. They didn't get their reimbursements. That Michael A. Wood took that money and started his own nonprofit, kept it all. Wesley Clark Jr., basically said he didn't steal it. He thought his life was in danger. The guy is a little bit unstable. Ooh. And he had went on to align himself with us to tell what was going on. And at the same time all this was going on, Kathleen Bennett, a Lakota woman from South Dakota, had her elder mother, who was actually a descendant mm-hmm. from Wounded Knee, who is old and has started having a lot of health issues and mobility issues, brought her to camp. And they accused her of abusing her and dragged
and her, took her mom away.
Took her mom away, put her in a hotel room, and then had Kathleen arrested for elder abuse and stealing
her
mom's
to the hospital,
money.
Not a hotel room.
Yeah, they took Kathleen.
They took her mom to a hospital and put Kathleen in jail.
Yes, and put Kathleen in jail. And it took, and we got involved in that because witnesses called us up and said, this is wrong.
Yeah, and that is how we got involved.
Yep.
That's how we got involved in the, we realized there was a giant cover-up. And it was these very people, the spokesperson for the Veterans Stand for Standing Rock, Wesley Clark, Evan Duke, all of them were in on it. See, they were supposed to, just like they done at the border, where they take someone like mm-hmm. Maria Mesa, they have their own media allies set up this thing where she's going to run through the tear gas with their kids, photo op. They put it in all of these papers. It makes national and international news. Then she gets escorted across the border.
Yeah.
And they get to use a friend of one of the Pueblo Sin Fronteras human smugglers, Sonia Vargas, as the excuse to get asylum for this woman. Paloma Zuniga, Palomo for Trump, as she is known, is used as the excuse for this woman, Maria Mesa. Like, the whole thing was mounted.
It was a setup.
Start to finish, folks. Start to finish.
And these guys are really good at doing setups, you know, and doing the visuals. I mean, when they had people breach the border wall and have the border patrol or shoot tear gas canisters and have that smoke-filled area and people running, that's the sort of stuff these people do. Just look at the Standing Rock footage. They started things on fire, tires and branches, and created billows of smoke. They burned down buildings, and they had law enforcement masked up with military-style vehicles and non-lethal weapons, and cost the state of North Dakota millions, $20 million, $22 million. And they did all that to basically stage their actions.
They stage everything.
And they've been trying to do it in Tijuana and in Mexico.
Oh, they haven't been trying.
They've been doing it.
They have accomplished it.
You're totally right, yes.
The article, I keep repeating this, the article that Teen Vogue that was written by Ari Harnorvar that said that the transgender LGBTQIA caravan members, some of whom came over with this same Maria Mesa, by the way, that they were persecuted in Mexico to the degree that someone tried to burn them alive inside of a shelter that these same activists run. So they got a statement from the shelter manager, which is a shelter that the activists that were working with Al Otro Lado lawyers, that were working with Congresswoman Nanette Barragan, that set up this whole thing. They were both the reason for them to have to flee into the United States immediately for Maria Mesa, for this other group of LGBTQIA people. It's all set up, folks. I wouldn't have believed it. I wouldn't have believed that it was just a movie set, that the Dakota Access Pipeline protest was a movie set for all of these politicians and people to get their jumping off point. Tulsi Gabbard had to know it. Tulsi Gabbard had to know when she went to, just like AOC, when she went to Standing Rock, they had to know this was part of the kickoff to her political campaigning. Because you know that these politicians plan this stuff way, way in advance. So you got to ask yourself, what else do you not know about Tulsi Gabbard?
Exactly.
Hell, I got an education from this article written by Tori. Again, folks, go check her out on Tori Says. This is on published on Laura Loomer's site. And we have a link for you so you can go and check it out for yourself. I know I probably shared it to a bajillion people today. I was super excited when this came out. So if you've already read it, bear with me. I think it is so important, which is why I'm doing this for my radio audience, folks. Because honestly, y'all have to hear what's uncovered in here. Do you want to start us off here, honey?
Yes, and this is the page is on. Just look at the link. It has a picture of Laura Loomer at the top.
I'm grabbing the link, the short link for the
audience. Short link. It's a really long link because on their website they have long links. So to post it on our page, we did a shortened link. You scroll down, and the title of the article is "Tulsi Gabbard's Platform is Confusing as Leftists Identifying Their Gender in 2019." And at the top of this picture. It was only published. It was published today, so it's a fresh article.
Yeah, it just dropped today, guys.
Pro-Antifa, pro-life, pro-peace, pro-war, pro-community, pro-socialism, all of the above. And there's Tulsi with Bernie Sanders, a future to believe in. And would you like me to start reading the article?
Yeah, please.
When Tulsi Gabbard announced she was running under the Democratic ticket, many people cocked their heads. Why would someone who speaks like a conservative, supports conservative values, and proclaims to be a constitutionalist at heart, run under a Democratic ticket and support things like Antifa or Communist Bernie? Simple. Because she is none of the above. Not even a Democrat. She is a communist in disguise. The one thing she isn't is full of herself like Kamala Harris, who was upset Gabbard called her out for her horrid record as a racist prosecutor and liar. In Harris's defense, she could be speaking the truth about smoking pot and listening to Tupac if she were a time traveler or if she didn't while she was working as a prosecutor.
Quote, unquote, working.
Quote, unquote, working.
Okay. So it says, this is going to sound immodest, but I'm obviously a top-tier candidate, and so I did expect that I would be on stage and take hits tonight because there are a lot of people trying to make the stage for the next debate, especially when people are at 0, 1%, whatever she might be at. That was a quote by Kamala Harris.
Oh, wow.
Referring to Tulsi Gabbard. I got to say, that was a burn.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a burn. I just want to address really quick that there was a poll that came out yesterday that says that Bernie Sanders and Warren are the front runners.
Oh, yeah.
And that they've already surpassed, by just one point, they've already surpassed Joe Biden. What do you think of that? Because all of the rest of the candidates are like it. You know, when she says like 1%. Yeah. Did anyone ever think that Tulsi Gabbard had a chance in hell of being a front runner?
No, I didn't think so. In fact, I look at who's running on the Democrats and it's like a bunch of nobodies and a bunch of people just pontificating.
It's like a clown car.
And it's like I've had trouble just because we do news. You know, we have to watch that stuff, and it's like, oh, do we have to watch the base? What, can't we just watch the Cliff Note version of this stuff and not have to listen to it? And again, one thing that's always bothered me about any presidential election is the cost, because they spend so many millions and millions and millions of dollars on a campaign, and they do it for a long time. Look how this has started, you know, a year before the primaries even. You know, and they spend so much on advertising, and the for-profit media organizations make so much money on political ads, and the print shops and all these people make so much money. And that money is disgusting. In fact, the recent debates, they have to raise a certain, you know, millions of dollars, have to have raised that amount of money even to get a seat on the stage. So the idea that you can actually run for president in this country if you're not a multimillionaire or can raise multi-millions and millions of dollars, you know, is it makes it so the common person, or a really good candidate connected to the community could never run for president because they'll never raise the money. They'll never be able to rise to that point. And it just bothers me a lot. Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Green Party, all of them do that. But some of those other parties don't ever raise that sort of money, so you never see their name even on the ballot.
Now, one of the reasons why Tulsi Gabbard was met by this contingent of the veterans stand for Standing Rock is because she is a veteran, as Tori points out in this article, and thanks her for her service, because, of course, there are not a large group of people willing to put their lives on the line for our country, right?
Yeah.
It's not every day and everyone that we have people serving in any branch of the military. But I want to bring something up that's really important. And Tori and anyone else that has noticed this connection with the veterans, I hope you're listening to what I'm about to say. These are the same people that brought us the Nathan Phillips hoax with the Covington Cath School kids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when people got upset about that, it was because of the embellishment of Nathan Phillips to say that he was a Vietnam era veteran, that he was in the theater of war. You know, he tried to make it appear that he had exemplary service and that these kids, these American MAGA hat wearing kids, had disrespected veteran. This is the same type of rhetoric that we heard at Standing Rock. And the truth is, many of these so-called veterans weren't veterans. They were stolen valor. In fact, many of them outright lied about being in the service or embellished, as did Ed Higgins, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what he said about himself, Ed Higgins? Yeah, one of the people that gave security detail to Tulsi Gabbard. He said that he was a sharpshooter.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said he didn't even make it through basic because he tested positive for cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even make it through basic. And guess what? I suspect Evan Duke may not have the kind of military record that one should be proud of, because a lot of these folks, they're using the fact that they are part of this group of veterans or so-called veterans to take for themselves the honor, to command the respect, and to have the moral authority to criticize our government. In the case of what happened at Standing Rock, to criticize the police, to stand and defend the Standing Rock phonies and actors from the Morton County authorities and other local authorities and the National Guard and the BIA. That's what they used it for. So be mindful of that. And I would love for someone, I got to call Don Shipley again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And ask that they do a deep dive on this terrorist. I mean, he is aptly referred to as a terrorist, mm-hmm, in this article, because and they're not just in the United States. It's international.
Yeah.
This guy has taken it international. So, it talks about the fact that Gabbard is a strong supporter of a number of gun control measures, including banning certain weapons, HIPAA violating pre-purchase background checks, ending the gun show loopholes, and she supports a quasi-red flag law. Back in 2016, when the House hosted a sit-in, she participated when the Republican Party refused to allow anyone to vote on gun control legislation. Gabbard has repeatedly said, "I want assault weapons banned." This statement says it all, since all weapons are in essence assault weapons. In fact, a slipper in an abuelita's hand aiming at you is considered an assault weapon. Oh, man, I don't know if you wrote that just for me, but that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is. Tori Lindemann is both. Maras Lindemann is both. Beautiful and funny. Gabbard is on the hashtag America Last team. She is a globalist and member of the Council of Foreign Relations. There's that. And then, of course, it says that the Council of Foreign Relations removed her name after word of her membership was released in either late June 2019. It seems that the mainstream media, left publication, and globalist groups will do anything to help Gabbard. The mainstream media, not just those that purport to be providing news, but outlets like TMZ, will do anything to defend Gabbard and even a disappearing pimple. Huh. TMZ deserves credit for bringing to our attention that the mainstream media actually have the technology to eradicate blemishes from guests if they like them during live taping in real time. There's a video. Wow, really? That's crazy. Oh, by the way, I got a breaking news, guys, because I did not know this, but while I was going live, Tori called me to give me this breaking news. Jeff Epstein, the guy that committed suicide suddenly, which nobody's buying.
Mm-hmm.
He had shares in Dakota Access Pipeline
via
Energy Transfer Partners.
Wow.
Did you know?
No, I didn't.
I did not know that. Really?
Yeah, and Energy Transfer Partners was behind the pipeline and the funding of the pipeline and one of, really huge investor that brought money together to build that pipeline. And that's who the No Dabble people that you see behind me were fighting against. But they were just basically having it as a backdrop for the fakery that they were doing.
Guess who else is a member of this group? Jeff Epstein.
Wow.
That's why I brought that up. Hmm. I thought that would be a cool little tidbit. According to the 2002 Puff piece in the New York Magazine, Epstein by Landon Thomas Jr., he described Epstein as an enthusiastic member of the Trilateral Commission and the Council of Foreign Relations. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Council of Foreign Relations is incredibly confusing in respect to where they stand on political spectrums because of the publications and commentary are inharmonious with each other. They discuss conservative views, applaud President Trump for his achievements, and then they categorize things like climate change as important, crucial, and as religion. Okay. Gabbard's political views are communist-populist fusion. In 2016, Gabbard campaigned with Bernie Sanders. In fact, she claimed he was the only candidate that would create an impact and incite change in our country that we needed. Here's a quote. I've endorsed Bernie Sanders to be our next president and commander-in-chief because I'm convinced he is the only person running for president who has the intelligence, foresight, and good judgment to make sound decisions when it comes to the issue of war and peace. That's a Tulsi Gabbard quote.
Mm-hmm.
In the article penned for Time Magazine March 22nd, 2016, while Obama was gallivanting in Antarctica and Hillary Clinton was being questioned over dinner by FBI agents about her emails with her counsel present, Gabbard claimed Bernie Sanders is the commander-in-chief we need. Gabbard is a confusing Democrat that supports communist Bernie. The left did not know what to make of her.
Yeah.
Below are excerpts of two articles. One is from the Daily Beast and the other is from the Daily Kos, which are now deleted. But we archived them and find it important to demonstrate that they shared sentiments, but changed their minds when it suited their agenda. Here's another quote. This is from Tim Mark. Tulsi Gabbard, the Bernie endorsing congresswoman who Trump fans can love. It says she's a lawmaker who has a soft spot for dictatorial regimes. She pals around with Sheldon Adelson. She's a frequent fixture on Fox News, where she has slammed the president over his refusal to use the term Islamic extremism to refer to terror attacks. Sounds a lot like the Donald. And she says here also, Tulsi Gabbard will go wherever the winds blow, and now they are pointed to a clown-haired circus peanut autocrat. Tulsi is not with us. That's a quote from the Daily Kos in an article called Breaking, Tulsi Gabbard May Join Trump's Administration. Gabbard has confused voters on where she stands on the political spectrum. Her actions, both past and present, past endorsements and many statements, are muddled so much the left doesn't trust her. an article titled "Tulsi Gabbard is Not Your Friend" by, oh, I showed that on my show.
Yeah, you did.
I already read that same article. Mm-hmm. In Jacobin magazine details the dilemma that the left has. He is one of those misinformed persons who really believe then candidate Trump may have taken on Gabbard into his administration. Her rhetoric about Islam wouldn't be out of place on a Republican debate stage. Her anti-interventionism is shot through with a pernicious nationalism. Her support for Modi legitimizes a leader with a record of enabling anti-Muslim brutality. Sanders' seal of approval shouldn't be taken as a final word on Tulsi Gabbard after all. Should we really champion a presidential candidate who could easily have been slotted into a Trump cabinet? That's from the article that is from Jacobin, written by Banco Marcetic. Titled "Tulsi Gabbard is Not Your Friend." You should go check it out. It's pretty interesting. Tori goes on. The New York Times, on the other hand, have a love-hate view on Gabbard. In a recent article from The Observer, an almost creepy undertone of admiration empowers the words of her conflicting and confusing position. It was one of the weirdest write-ups on the presidential candidates ever seen, which seems to be working in her favor. It's identical to the New York Times position on Antifa. Quote, "Aloha," Miss Gabbard says. She is standing on the crest of a hill, her long, thick dark hair accented with a shock of gray that she sweeps back. She is wearing a bright red silk shirt and capri pants, and she is mic'd up, her husband almost filming. Gabbard did not miss the opportunity to visit Standing Rock, where she felt the most loved during her visit back in 2016 to protest the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Oh.
And this is the part that features some of the work, some of the investigative work that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I posted this article with Tori's comment on our page because she actually credited me here in the article at the end and thanked me and tagged me for my tidbits, my investigative tidbits.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Tori, for the support.
Definitely.
And for writing this amazing article, exposing all of this. I was just so upset when I saw that he was assaulting people and filmed by so many mm-hmm. people in Portland this past week. I thought, how can it be that this man is still walking free?
Yeah, definitely.
How is he still walking free? Didn't anybody else notice the lengthy history that he has and everything he's been connected to? Do you remember that everybody's phones went out? That people's information was being sucked off of their phones? Here's a congresswoman out there. This happened while she was out there too. And I mean, the information that's on her phone, the conversations, the communications she's having as a member of Congress are on another level.
Yeah.
The breach in security is mind-boggling. The fact that she had Antifa, members of Antifa, as her security detail is stunning.
Mm-hmm.
Stunning. This post is by Jesse L. Nicky, the one that's shown here. And it says, next, reporter and radio host, show host Cindy Gomez-Shemp has been reporting on the Dakota Access Pipeline and all of those involved in the protest since it happened. Her show, A Mexican Crossing Lines, has brought her great heat and kickback from the Democratic Party that she once identified with. All very true. Her extensive research has determined that the same activists at the Dakota Access Pipeline protest are also part of Antifa, are at the southern border helping illegal immigrants cross the border, protest the butterfly sanctuary, and more. Oh, yes, so much more.
Yeah, for sure.
Here's a quote from me. It's the same people over and over again. Evan Duke not only kicked off the DAPL Veterans Stand for Standing Rock group, but also is part of the Occupy movement. Yes. And the architect of the Occupy movement, as she even has referred to herself, is Winnie Wong, Bernie Sanders' campaign advisor. So that whole, you know, movement and the way that it was mirrored by Occupy LA, Occupy this city name, insert city name, mm-hmm. Occupy inauguration, Occupy ICE, all of those things, which these folks and many of these members of Congress, like AOC plus three, have been using as hashtags. All of those people have been messaging the same way. And these messages come from these political wonks, these political advisors like Winnie Wong. They're not coming directly from Evan Duke. So who is Duke? Many might say he's simply an activist and that he strongly believes in clean water and protests for that. First Amendment rights. But he is a professional protest organizer. Yes, he is. Yep. Aside from the most organized protest organizer, he is very well connected with politicians in our House and Senate. Deep globalist pockets fund to assist and protect the protests put on by Duke to promote the causes of his donors. He promotes violence with his posts, events, and organized riots. Here is an example of that where it says, burn fascists, not forests. Huh. Evan Duke not only organized a protest to Standing Rock, but he wears many hats. Yep, he was the organizer of the, what's it called, Occupy inauguration. Yep,
exactly.
And then I showed it on my last show. He mm-hmm. shows all the different organizations like Code Pink and mm-hmm. Winona LaDuke and Honor the Earth and all of these different people she works with. Leader of Antifa in Portland. Here's the picture of him next to Jamal Oscar X. Leader of Occupy ICE. It says a post here that he posted about the 69-year-old anarchist Antifa friend of Duke's who was killed after he tried to blow up a propane tank mm-hmm. in Tacoma, Washington, next to a detention facility. And then it says a leader of Asylum Aid, now known as the Border Support Network. It has had many names. Folks, as you know, it was created by Occupy ICE, which was the group started by Evan Duke and is run by Evan Duke. And it started off with the name hashtag Asylum Seeker Caravan Support Network. Then it became the Just Caravan Support Network. And then it became the Border Support Network. Duke created and advanced a group originally called the hashtag Asylum Seeker Caravan Support Network, which is now known as the Border Support Network. This is where he trained and assigned Lilith Sinclair, her real name is Kiara Horsley, to run groups for him in Portland. Kiara Horsley, if you watched my show last night, is a full service sex worker. And that's just a nicer language for prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
She said that in the video that she posted, mm-hmm. I think, just yesterday.
Yep.
I didn't share that with all of y'all, but I think it's very concerning because she was involved in the kidnapping of Carlos, and she was involved in the What's Up chat arguing that the activists in Mexico had a right to share marijuana with the migrants, had a right to share drugs with the migrants. In this post, she is talking about the coordinating of every different state in the union and how what the resources are for asylum seekers and for protesters. It also has a post from her, me at New Seasons, hi AF, coming grocery shopping here right now was literally the worst idea because she's at home right now, hi AF, and starving. Wow, I'm so hungry and nothing sounds good. Oh my God, I have cake in the fridge right now. Buying food while high was the best idea. You can't make this stuff up.
Exactly. Wow.
If these are the people that you think should be working with vulnerable migrants, asylum seekers, or whatever you want to call this group of people that is being trafficked, that is being smuggled, then you don't care about migrants or asylum seekers because these are literally some of the worst people you could put in charge of anything. Evan Duke's role in all these groups is to train, educate, and grow the cause he funds and manifests. This group is run by a woman who claims to be a journalist.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. a topless journalist, maybe? She's a stripper. She is a sex worker. That is what her main thing is. And Sinclair is now creating a list of all companies that donate to illegal aliens.
No.
All such members and activists are in Portland, Oregon, or move there to continue their work. The work they are called to do, quote unquote, leader of Occupy Inauguration. Also, he frequently posts in Our Resistance. That's also one of his pages, Our Resistance. I mean, it's all based on the presidential campaign of Trump and Pence and impeaching Trump and Pence and the group that I talked about that includes domestic terrorist Bill Ayers. Was it called? I always forget the name of it. Refuse Fascism, or
yeah,
is
something
it?
Something like that, yeah.
It's not Resist Fascism.
No, I have trouble.
I can't remember right now.
I know, but every time, it's like I have to brush up on my Shakespeare, you know? Every time you quiz me on things, it's like my mind goes blank. We have the information there. I'm really a reader and follower of files and words and paper. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I really get lost in trying to recall it. I'll think about it when the show's over. I'll remember the name. But that's the way I
The signatories on that group.
Yeah, Bill Ayers.
Was Bill Ayers.
Yep.
Chase Iron Eyes.
Yep.
Michael Awood Jr., the mm-hmm. ex-Baltimore cop that worked with Evan Duke mm-hmm. and Wes Clark. And in fact, that was the place where I found the propagandist director, Brett Polish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That did the movie So Far From God. That Paloma Zuniga DeLint was in, that she never mentioned to folks until yep. after I exposed it.
Exactly.
Anywho, the group he first named Occupy Inauguration is now hashtag Our Resistance, which is visible from this link. In fact, the group is a strong supporter of Tulsi Gabbard. Here is the most recent post as of writing up this article. They're not the only ones. Also, so is Francis Fisher and influencer Guru Jay Ponte, who are very close to Code Pink and many of these other organizations I have been featuring. In Gabbard's Facebook post, she claimed it was an honor to meet Evan Duke, and they are also connected via Facebook. Duke is a violent Antifa rioter who both leads and organizes such demonstrations. Yep. There's Andy knows footage of the black bus mm-hmm. attacked by Evan Duke, amongst others. In the foregoing video, Evan Duke punches a man in the head who's on the bus. If we can identify him, why can't the Portland police?
Exactly.
Things that make you go, Why aren't they doing their job in Portland? I don't know.
Yeah.
Duke also appears in the following video as well. And it was the one by Julio Rosas, where that reporter that got surrounded by Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouted that where the Jamal Oscar S., the black dude without the shirt, was like screaming at him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kind of like he was like backing up, mm-hmm. very scared, you know, right before they arrested him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And finally, we've got the picture of her with Bernie Sanders. Show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Supported fighting ISIS and radical Islam by any means, presidential ODDS. She does this while feigning objectivity and expressing a simple desire for peace at all cost. ARC Digital. These are the sources for the quotes you just heard me read. According to Kamala Harris, Tulsi Gabbard is also a Russian agent.
Oh, Russian agent.
What? Wow. Catfight.
Mm-hmm.
According to Breitbart, Senator Kamala Harris, campaign press secretary, suggested Russia was behind Representative Tulsi Gabbard after she landed an effective blow on Harris's record as a prosecutor during the Democrat debates on Wednesday night. What do you think of that, Duke?
Well, you know, they're liking Russian? It's really strange to me also in a political campaign that these 20 some people will stand around and point their fingers at each other and disrespect each other and say that they're the better candidate. And it's like they're all running on the same ticket. You know, they're trying to run on the same ticket, but they want to be the top one on there. So this infighting and stuff is not doing the Democratic Party any good. You know, and it's you know, this stuff is going to be, by the time next summer comes, and next winter and summer and the primaries, people are going to be so sick of this, you know? So it's like, it's the type of buildup for a campaign that's going to be hard for the country to get behind, and they're doing it to themselves.
Yeah, I agree with you, Duke. That's true. Well, let's continue here.
All right.
Let us continue with the article. It says, reporters writing their stories with eyes on the modern day assignment desk of Twitter read this. This is a tweet by Ian Sams that I'm reading right now. The Russian propaganda machine that tried to influence the 2016 election is now promoting the presidential aspirations of a controversial Hawaiian Democrat. Duke. And it's an NBC News article titled Russia's Propaganda Machine Discovers 2020 Dem Contender Tulsi Gabbard. Wow. Experts who track websites and social media linked to Russia have seen stirrings of a possible campaign of support for Hawaiian Democrat Tulsi Gabbard.
Wow.
Woo. This is an article in NBC News, February 2nd, 2019, by Robert Windrum and Ben Popkin. I'm just going to read a little tiny bit of it, okay?
All right.
The Russian propaganda machine that tried to influence 2016's U.S. election is now promoting presidential aspirations of a controversial Hawaiian Democrat who earlier this month declared her intention to run for 2020. NBC News analysis of the main English language news site employed by Russia in its 2016 election meddling shows Representative Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, who is set to make her formal announcement Saturday, has become a favorite of the sites Moscow used when it interfered in 2016.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Several experts who track websites and social media linked to the Kremlin have also seen what they believe may be the first stirrings of an upcoming Russian campaign in support of Gabbard. Since Gabbard announced her intention to run on January 11, there have been at least 20 Gabbard stories on three major Moscow-based English language websites affiliated with or supportive of the Russian government. Russian television, the Russian-owned TV outlet Sputnik News,
okay,
a radio outlet, and Russian Insider, a blog that experts say closely follows the Kremlin line. The CIA has called Russian television and Sputnik part of, quote, Russia's state-run propaganda machine. Remember Cassandra Fairbanks worked for them?
Yeah, the cam girl. Yeah,
the cam girl. I just wanted to remind you.
Yep.
Gabbard seems to be confused. Going back to Tory's article here, Gabbard seems to be confused on political views, policies, and regulations, but she is unquestionably a communist, socialist, and believes achieving a goal by any means necessary is the way to go, which is exactly what Antifa and other radical groups embody. According to the list of genders her platform most identifies as, it's bizarre how she or any other Democratic candidate is still part of the presidential race. Is it really a race, though? And actually have press coverage. This indicates the political ill health of American voters that may still be voting for the deranged Democratic Party. We know there aren't many because the Democrats wouldn't be hosting DNC fundraisers outside the United States if there was.
Wow.
Folks, that's it. Tory is a nationally syndicated talk radio host that airs live Monday through Friday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Red State Talk Radio, and a contributor for lauraloomer.us. And she gave me special thanks. She says special thanks to Cindy Gomez-Shump, station manager, KPPPLP, FM radio, board president, People's Press Project, Mexican, hashtag Media Justice, for her valuable investigative skills in sharing information on these serial activists with lauraloomer.us. Thank you, both of you, both Laura and Tori. Amazing support. Thanks for getting this out there. Thanks for sharing it. I really want to drive my audience and Laura's audience and Tori's audience to our website at kpppfm.com so you can check out the other articles on which we covered Tulsi Gabbard and many of these serial activist guys.
Yeah, and also one thing that's difficult, we do a lot of audio work. And Cindy's a really good writer. She was an editor of the High Plains Reader here for several years, and she was a writer long before that since she was very young, and she has published articles in all sorts of publications. And we haven't written as much since we've done live radio and have done Facebook Lives, and we've invested our time into the visual. That's why our shows are very long, you know, and it's hard sometimes.
You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo, Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves.
For you to gather that information, especially when there's multiple shows that we have done on Tulsi Gabbard and Evan K. Duke III. And so when someone has the patience to go through that material and start seeing the connections and then produce a written piece like this, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I appreciate it because that person is really digging and really looking at the connections and then reproduces it in their own words and it makes other connections to it. It's really good journalism.
But Tori is kind of a badass. I mean,
oh, yeah.
She's an amazing writer. You guys got to listen to her show. But I want to tell you, this is true, guys. Duke, you don't even know about this. Chris and I were right. talking about it recently. Chris is the Chris Berg Show, 630 Point of View, KXJB. By the way, he tells me, and Tori tells me, that they held a fundraiser, guess where? The DNC, the
okay.
Democrats.
Right.
They were holding a fundraiser, guess where?
Moscow?
In Mexico.
Mexico?
Yes!
They're doing a fundraiser in Mexico? Is the oatmeal boy there with them? Yeah.
Is Antifa in attendance?
I'm sure. Probably.
Oh, my God. What a joke these folks are. Really, seriously, they're so, so sad. But let me tell you, I covered this a long time ago. This is an opportunity of a lifetime because of the traffic that Laura gets and that Tori has been able to publish on. Because I really think she did a great job of explaining how dangerous Antifa and this Evan Duke terrorist dude is. And there's a lot of other shows I've done that cover her. Nemo will drop those in the comments of the show. And plus also the last four or five shows of mine that cover the con artivists, the Antifa antics that happened out in Portland. We have the Mercenaries for Hire, the two shows where I showed Paloma's connection to the smugglers in Tijuana, both Riebling and Ivan Riebling, the guy that's being investigated for selling weapons. The FBI is doing an investigation on Riebling and Evan Duke,
yes.
The guy you see behind me,
mm-hmm.
for arming Antifa at the border. Paloma's connections to that guy, as well as the Pueblo Sin Frontera smuggler, Sonia. And those two shows are also in here, the Truth About Paloma and the Paloma for Fraud, as well as Agents of Chaos, my last show, which features all of the information about Evan Duke. That is what he is. He is a mercenary for hire. The shows that I did on Tulsi Gabbard are Driving Factors. That one doesn't have a lot on her, but it's a good show because it talks about how the driving factors of the caravan are not poverty. They're not the wish of seeking asylum. It's not because they're running from MS-13 or all of the other lies that they told you. It's these are the driving factors. Evan Duke, politicians like Nanette Barragan, like Escobar. Those are the driving factors. Jeff Merkley. Those are the driving factors. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Those are the driving factors. Okay. These Antifa people are the driving factors. That sex worker in the article, Lilith Sinclair. Those are the driving factors. They're the people, the crooked lawyers from Al Otro Lado. They're the ones going into Mexico and telling the migrants, oh, it's going to be a cinch. All you got to do is this. You're not married to each other. Oh, let me fake marry you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a family. Oh, let's just turn you into a family.
Yep.
I showed you evidence of every single one of those cons that are taking place, that are trying to defraud our government. There's Caravan Celebrities. This is an important show because the celebrities that organize Standing Rock are the same group of Hollywood influencers that are involved in the caravan. Francis Fisher. And of course, there is The Gift of Gab. The Nathan Phillips Border Wall Show, important, also features Tulsi Gabbard, Standing Rock Stories, and the Kathleen Bennett story. Of course, by the way, The Gift of Gab is a show I want to entice you to go check out because it covers a lot of really great information. I did it in two parts. I think we lost our feed that day for some reason.
Yeah.
But let me just give you a little taste, a quick taste of what you can find on that show. First, there was, of course, the post that you saw in with Tulsi pictured with all of these veterans. And this post was via Tulsi Gabbard's page. You see that right there. Mm-hmm. So this is what she said last Sunday night at Standing Rock with fellow veterans at their camp. Fellow Antifa veterans?
Yep.
Some Stolen Valor veterans?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They established a command team and an operational TOC, which they later burned to the ground.
Yep.
And are assisting with safety and security operations in the camp. Can you believe this?
Mm.
Can you believe she was giving credibility to criminals that kidnapped an elderly woman and put her in an early grave?
Yeah, we didn't believe it then.
That framed innocent people? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Tulsi didn't do squat for Kathleen Bennett.
Yep.
Tulsi didn't care. I'm honored to have met these incredible veterans who inspire as they continue their mission of service. They are in this for the long haul, planning to stay until the drilling pad and construction equipment are removed. I think they were gone like maybe a week later.
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating, but that is such a load of dookie.
Yeah.
Isn't it what she wrote there?
Yeah, and especially when she says that their mission and they're setting up for the long haul. Yeah, they set up for the long haul of continuing to scam and continuing to scam for years after that and continue to scam to today. That's a long haul they set up for, and she supported it. And she's given them all that valor for many of them who are actually stealing valor.
And, you know, Wesley Clark Jr., who was one of the people that raised the money on the Young Turks with Baltimore cop Michael Awood Jr., he was in communication with Evan Duke, right? He was talking with Evan Duke. He was out there with Evan Duke organizing this whole veterans group of criminals. There were a lot of them were criminals. I'm just going to say what they were.
Yep, veteran scams, Standing Rock, yep.
Yeah, veteran scammers and false valor and Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me in an interview, which I share as part of the show I'm talking about, which is the Gift of Gab. That's what I named the show. So if you go to kppfm.com and type in The Gift of Gab, you will find that show that I'm referring to right now. He talks about the fact that he's going to talk to these different members of Congress about the Kathleen Bennett case and about Evan Duke and about these activists that went to Flint, Michigan and started a camp there after they were at Standing Rock.
Yeah.
When he was involved with all of it from the beginning. And so Tulsi Gabbard knew about Kathleen Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
Ro Khanna knew about Kathleen Bennett. These people knew, according to Wes Clark, in the recorded interviews that I talked to him about this, okay? Go check it out for yourself.
Yep.
Check this. This is, go ahead and go to the next one. Will you read that, honey bun?
I sure will. This is a post. Evan K. Duke III. I got pretty sweet picture of you in D.C. on Inauguration Day, Tara. I'm still sorting through pics from last year. Anyways, this is for you, heart. And that's, and then, what's her name again, Tara?
Tara Hauska.
Hauska, yes.
Who worked on Bernie's campaign. She was the indigenous liaison or advisor to the Bernie Sanders campaign. Don't forget that, folks.
And she worked for
she was the Water Protector Legal Collective lawyer.
That's what it was, yes.
She was from the Red Warrior camp that had all of the violence and clashes with the police.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she's one of those people that went around the country from protest to protest with Antifa.
Yep.
Look at, this is on Evan K. Duke III's page. It is Tara Houska, who he is tagging because that's his bestie. And they were both in D.C. Remember when we were both in D.C.? Mm-hmm. And look who loves Tara.
Oh, boy.
Francis Fisher. Love you, Tara. You know why? Because Francis Fisher is friends with Antifa Duke.
Yes, of course.
Antifa Evan Duke. By the way, I just got a tweet here shared with me by Tori. Oscar Fuentes tweeted this, and it has Cenk Uygur's nephew. What's that guy's name? God, I forget his name. And he is in the video quoted as saying that America deserves deserved the 9/11 attack, and also mocking Dan Crenshaw's war injury.
Oh, boy.
That is the kind of scum that you can find at the Young Turks. And I'll tell you something. Remember that the Young Turks and Jordan Sheridan, their only correspondent and former correspondent at Truth Against the Machine, which is now defunct because Jordan Sheridan is a rapist. Mm-hmm. And he raped a co-worker named a correspondent named Carly Hammond with his girlfriend I don't know what you call her, Chelsea Lyons Kent, and mm-hmm. his cameraman. God, why can't I remember this nephew's name?
Yeah.
I'm blanking on the nephew of the Young Turks.
What is it, people? Put it out
can
there.
Can somebody say
Don't ask me, because I just said I qualified myself as not remembering nothing.
I don't think mean you I really knew his name. We don't watch his,
that stuff anyways. So.
So you wouldn't probably know it. But he does little segments. None of these people do media. None of these people do investigative reporting. None of these people do research. None of these people don't write articles. They don't do anything. All they do is take other people's news and comment. Or what they did in the Kathleen Bennett case, they take my information, act like they're going to report on the Kathleen Bennett case, and then feature several of the people that I'm going to expose as frauds and put them on the Young Turks and make them look like they're heroes. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. That's what they did in the Kathleen Bennett case. Well, here's the next slide I have. In this one, Ed Higgins here of the platform, the defunct platform Activate Now, started by actress and co-founder of Divest LA, Madeline Kelly Merritt, reposts Katie Johnstone talking about the video that features CIA analyst Ray McGovern as he was being pulled out by the police out of the confirmation hearings for Haspel. Do you remember that? Do you remember? Linda Sarsour was there too. She ran. It was like, she screamed something and then they dragged her out of there.
Okay,
they do that a lot.
I remember that though, yeah.
Okay, remember that he was in he had a sling on his arm mm-hmm. when he appeared on Jimmy Dore's show, or was it Lee Camp? One of those two. And he was complaining about how they brutalized him and hurt him and pulled him out. Do you remember who Ray McGovern's friend was? It was one of the lawyers in the WPLC.
Okay. Water Protector Legal Collective.
I think his name was Jeff Guy. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. This post, guess who took the video and was there with Ray McGovern in Washington, D.C. protesting? Guess who was there videotaping that as he was getting dragged out by the police? It was Terrence Daniels.
Terrence Daniels
took that video.
Okay.
I just wanted to remind folks who took that video, because Terrence Daniels is everywhere. He was defrauding people in Houston after Standing Rock. He went to Puerto Rico. He's now in Hawaii.
Yep.
These drone pilots are here and there and everywhere. Evan Duke also, of course, was texting back and forth with Evan, with Wes Clark Jr. Here is a message sent to me by Wes Clark Jr., where he says, Evan Duke texted me and I wouldn't take it. So yeah. he called him on the phone, and they texted back and forth because he refused to take his call.
Wow.
I think they had a fake fight and he sent it to me so that I would not associate him with Antifa.
That makes
sense. That I would not associate him with these sex workers and rapists like Chelsea Lyons Kent, so that I wouldn't go, hey, what in the hell is this?
Yeah, really.
Because it became more and more clear that he wasn't just connected. He was a ringleader.
Yeah.
Along with Evan Duke.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Chelsea Lyons Kent wanted them and wanted Wes Clark and Flint. That's why Evan Duke was coordinating with Wes Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were working together.
Yep.
Antifa held a rally at around that time in solidarity to shut down D.C.
Okay.
Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the person in the top right corner that's got their mouth open screaming and that's leaning back and they're screaming right there? That's sex worker, a.k.a. prostitute, a.k.a. Kiara Horsley,
okay,
a.k.a. Lilith Sinclair,
mm-hmm,
with the Portland Antifa people,
yep,
with Evan Duke.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the show way back then, folks. Goes all the way back there. And of course, it would not be complete without the messages that he was communicating with the rapist of Carly Hammond, Chelsea Lyons Kent. And he said,
Chelsea Lyons messaged me on Facebook last night for the first time ever.
Really?
Trying to get me involved in Flint. Saying the city needs a movement, just like the vet deployment to Standing Rock.
What a con.
Yeah.
He was trying to make me believe to message me for the first time.
Yeah, really.
How stupid do you think I am?
Yeah.
She literally was sleeping with Jordan Sheridan of the Young Turks.
Mm-hmm.
You worked at the Young Turks. You raised the money with Cenk. Do you think I am a moron? And finally, I wanted to show you this guy. I cannot for the life of me remember his name right now.
Hmm.
He was the guy from Crimea. God, what was his name? He was a mercenary from Crimea that was taking pictures with Winona LaDuke and Wes Studi and all of these different people. He was doing missing and murdered indigenous women work with Mulaney Stoneman after Standing Rock and Angelo Sison. This guy, I cannot remember his name right now, but I'm going to leave it there because I want to remember that I got to remind folks about who all was in this show. And that guy was a mercenary that I need to reintroduce to everyone. I don't think I really did a full show on that guy.
No, you talked about him lightly, and then there's so many connections. When you do these shows and you start layering stuff, I mean, you need a matrix of all the connections of people, you know, which...
Be careful what you ask for, Duke, because it might just come to pass.
Yeah.
It might just be coming to pass. We do need a big matrix to cover all of the vast network of criminals. And hopefully, if we get very fortunate, that might actually happen. But meanwhile, we will continue to educate the public. Join us on YouTube live chat right after this program. We'll be there to answer questions. I know many of you do not know the history of Tulsi Gabbard's or all of the people from Standing Rock and the Caravan Support Network. So if you have questions,
join us in five.
Will be able to
join us in five.
Them.
Yep,
five.
Definitely.
Over on YouTube, Dukes 1517. We'll share the link to the live. Do you have a link over here?
It's on the
YouTube live link.
Actually,
oh, yes, it is.
I can do it. I have it right here.
Okay.
I'll just stick it in there.
Okay. Duke will do it. And folks, please share this article far and wide. Let's make it viral. Let's make it go viral because we want people to know about Tulsi's past. I think she's toast.
Yep,
stick
I think
a
so
fork
too.
In her. I think she's done.
She's done.
She's done.
At the right temperature to eat.
But people also need to put this clown in prison. They need to put Evan Duke in prison.
Evan
this
Duke.
Clown, This criminal needs to go to jail. Join me on Super Chat in just a moment. We're on YouTube. Thanks for being with us here on Mexican Crossing Lines with your host, Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo, Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Buenas noches.